Hello, hello. Welcome back. Great day, our dear Swede supporters. Welcome back to our globally recognized Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by fundraisingcup.org Ministries. I want to remind you all that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussion grounded in faith and honor of our Father. We discuss various topics related to supporting communities in all walks of life as we are attracting a more diverse audience with a shared passion for growing spiritually and applying these lifelong lessons to our day-to-day experiences. I definitely want to encourage you all to continue to support this podcast and to donate because every little contribution can go a long way. As always, we're going to open up by setting a few ground rules so we can get off to a good start. We're going to listen and learn, number one. Number two, we're going to respect and have receipt. Number three, we're going to try not to use explicit language. Number four, we're going to bring our most authentic and humorous self. Number five, if we're running short on time, I may need to interrupt respectfully and advise our guests that we need to regroup. If you continue to chat, you all may hear me say I will have to mute your mic. And number six, to you, our dear sweet audience, if you have any comments, please continue to contribute to the call. We will definitely follow up and give you a shout out at the end of our podcast and share your thoughts and comments in the next session. So, with that said, I would like to introduce a very, very special guest to our podcast today. This young, beautiful woman I have met on LinkedIn, and since then, we have created such a lovely bond intellectually and as sisters. And I'm so excited to have her on because I've already learned so much from her, and she's going to be so instrumental to this podcast and the ministry. I just can't give her enough credit. Well, I'm going to start, right? Anyway, I'm going to start by giving you a little background. This young, beautiful lady, she helps people feel good enough in their lives through the work of Byron Katie. She's a veterinarian by profession. She has helped her clients feel more at peace in their lives with her own company since 2022. Yes, 2022. We have none other than Miss Stephanie E. Scoopin with us today, who has graduated from the School of the Work in 2012 and from the School of Awakening with Eckhart Tolle in 2019. She has taught mindfulness, meditation, and the work since 2012. Welcome, Stephanie. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today.
Jewel, thank you so much. I don't even know what to do with all that much appreciation. That is really very, very kind of you. And I'm also excited about the bond, and I would say friendship that we're developing as we're traveling side by side through the internet world.
Yes. Stephanie was one of the first women to send me a video introduction of herself, and it wowed me because, you know, while we're on LinkedIn or whatever social media platform many of you use, sometimes, you know, we just get used to seeing the words and affiliating that picture with the words, and we don't have that personal touch. And she brought this personal touch to her introduction, which was so memorable and special to me that I not only responded, but I wanted to call this woman and find out, who are you?
So, and you did.
I just had to share that. Yes, and our bond has grown since then. Yeah, I'm so pleased because Stephanie will be working with us on a regular basis to uncover some of the core deep wounding that some of us may have, and guide us in how we can overcome and heal from it. So this is going to be a journey with our dear sister Stephanie, and please continue to stay tuned because she will be appearing on a regular basis, and we will be discussing some interesting topics that I'm sure many of you can relate to. With that said, I want to open up with a very powerful scripture that came to mind when I thought about the journey we're going to be going into with our dear friend Stephanie, and that is Jeremiah 33:6. And it states in the word, "Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security." And so my thoughts on that, Stephanie, when I came across that scripture, I was immediately thinking about our first conversation and how we were talking about something that wasn't a huge deal, but you brought me tremendous peace with it. And I think as we grow with this, I think you're going to do the same for others. What do you think?
Yes, no, absolutely. I completely, I mean, that is really what I'm, what for me, my experience, what the work that I'm doing is doing is just, you know, stepping a little bit outside the normal ways that we are framing our challenges, the wounds that we're carrying, that we're all carrying. There's no, you know, in my mind, there's no question. We're all carrying our own wounds, and, you know, being able to just look at them just a little different and ask ourselves, is this really, you know, how it happened? Is this really the way I'm approaching this? Is this really serving me? And yeah, I find what happened for you happens in, the calls that I have with people quite regularly, that people just go like, oh wow, I've never thought of it like that. And, mm-hmm. and that just allows some of the pain and some of the hurt to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that I'm just going to jump right in here because I think a couple of at least our supporters can relate as I've heard their various stories through our fasting journeys and just different issues that some people have voluntarily shared with me regarding their struggles. And I definitely can relate with having a narcissist throughout my life, right? I have quite a bit of narcissists in my family, and mm-hmm. I certainly have come across them in the workforce. And I know the term has become almost a catch-all phrase for all issues, but I really want to emphasize or specify that I'm referring to just a group of people that seem to thrive on others' pain, like none other. And it seems to be a growing issue, right? Because I don't know if it's making certain people feel superior in a sense. It's I don't know, it's kind of sadistic, but that's been like a constant subject matter that's come up not just in my life, but in other people in my network have posed the question to me. And I feel like you would be the best to answer that question, as well as why do we even go back and deal with these people invoking this kind of pain to us? It's almost like a sick grooming session, if you will. And last but not least, how can we heal from this?
Yeah, Jewel, that is jumping in, and that is, you know, that is a big question. And I think to just start out with is this is really at the center of our human journey. So, you know, first of all, I would say, you know, we are all wounded, like in this journey of humans, we all carry our own wounds. And One of our aims, one of our tasks in becoming fully ourselves is to heal our wounds.
Uh-huh.
And I think that is the first reason why we keep coming back, because it points us to there is healing needed here. And the same, however, is true for those people that, you know, seem to thrive on pain. They do the same. They're also wounded. And, you know, I know it's like when you're in that space of like you're meant to interact with somebody, like maybe it's a parent or a family member, or, you know, sometimes it's a crazy colleague at work, or, and it's, and they just want to push, and, you know, nothing you do is ever quite good enough, and you can be as kind as you like. And it's really hard to, you know, try and just keep meeting it with compassion. And I think sometimes what we just want to learn is to stay away. You know, that can be one level of healing, one level of learning. And sometimes that is totally the healthiest thing to do. You just, it's like the same what you said in the post today, you know, like some in your social media post, don't go back. Because there is a chance that this is going to come back at you. And so that's the level of healing, boundary, you know, leaving the situation, absolutely. But also what I found for myself in doing this work is that I can always find a measure of compassion when I remember that this person who's treating me badly is also acting out of their wounds. So it's hard to, you know, it's hard to expect them to be more healed than I am healed. I don't know if this makes sense, Jewel.
No, it does. It does.
Right. So like, you know, if I have a mother who's always critical, you know, that can totally take, like, really put a child down, right? It can
mm-hmm.
make you feel forever not good enough. It can make you, or it can produce like a young person or a person who's perfectionistic, who's never going to feel like, she's doing enough and always needing other people's appreciation. But when you look at where, and validation, exactly. But when you look at where that mother comes from, you know, she was probably brought up like that as well, you know, trying mm-hmm. to do the best that she could with what she had and trying to be the best person that she can be. And it might not be as good as you are because, of course, we evolve, right? The child always mm-hmm. learns from the parent and we, like, that gets a little bit better and a little bit better dealing with things. But it helps to have, for myself, it helps me to have compassion for the person who's, you know, acting out of their upbringing. Their best might not look that great from my perspective,
mm-hmm.
but if I can remember that, you know, that's probably what they're doing is their best, then I can have more compassion with them. And you know what? That still might mean you leave. Doesn't mean,
mm-hmm.
therefore, you stay around and take the flak, right?
Yes. It's important that you mention that, because some people think that is the expectation, that you go on this spiral and continue to deal with the abuse and trying to understand why you're getting abused.
Right. And I think the clearer you are about what is happening, the faster you're going to be out of there, basically. Mm-hmm. And you know, and that doesn't even mean like, and again, there is levels to that. You know, there's levels to the abuse. Are you being hit? Are you being raped? Are you being, or are you just being, or are you just like just in quotation marks, just being verbally abused? So like, for mm-hmm. example, you know, if it's physical, like, hell, absolutely, you know, the moment yes. you can see your way out, you get out and, you know, you get a restraining order, whatever you can do or get help, mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. However, from there, from that safe space away from this situation, can mm-hmm. I now look back and bring some understanding into what happened, into how this person who did these horrible things is still human and acting out of what happened to them. Because this is where it stops. This is where I then, like, this is where the healing in myself starts. And then I don't bring it forward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an easy route, and it goes through ups and downs for sure. You know, there's and at the same time, by, you know, developing compassion, the first person I have to develop compassion for is myself. Like, I will mm-hmm. be scared, I will be hurt, I will be angry, I will be raging, and that's appropriate. You know, I will be depressed, I will be despairing even of ever being better than I am right now, and all of those things are appropriate. And so that's where the compassion also has to start, is towards ourselves, to understand that, you know, we're wounded and we're going through moments of happier and moments of less happy. And in the moment when we're, gosh, when you're, you know, feeling despairing or angry, then you'll act like that. And it's important to also have that compassion to ourselves. You know, to allow those feelings to ourselves.
Wow. Another question I wanted to pose with you, because I just love the way you analyze and compartmentalize these subjects. And one of the things that have come up quite often in some of my group settings with individuals is gaslighting. And unfortunately, you know, I didn't have a specific answer to give. But I have dealt with certified potential gaslighters, to the point where I'm not even sure if they are in reality themselves. they just are totally convincing. And so I wanted to pose it to you, how best to deal with gaslighters, for one. And if you see that they're totally kind of going off of a cliff with the reality in hopes of bringing you there, what would be the best measures to deal with that?
So let me just be clear. So what you mean when you're saying someone who's gaslighting you is someone who says you're doing this wrong and you're always doing this wrong and making you feel bad for, is this what you're, and making you feel like this is all your fault? Is this what you're talking about?
Yes, like they're constantly manipulating not just people but an entire situation. Like, you may know exactly what's happening here, and they're trying to switch the narrative to fit them or to make them appear as if, as the superhero, so to speak, but it's, mm-hmm. it's a false reality.
Right, right, right. So, what I would say to that is that, the only person who lives in your reality is you. So what they're doing is they are living in not your reality. So they're trying to get you to live in their reality while you're trying to get them to live in your reality. And if those two realities are far enough apart, then that's not going to work for either one of you. So,
exactly.
So if you're clear on that, then the way forward would be to say, I hear you, it's not my truth, and I'm no longer having that discussion. The problem with shame and guilt comes in when part of us doubts our own reality, our own truth. And part of us thinks like, oh, maybe there are right somewhere. You know, maybe I am wrong here. Maybe I should be doing this differently. Maybe I should be thinking differently. If a part of us doubts ourselves, that's when we're not able to just say like, okay, fine, if that's your story, I hear you. Not my story. That's when we start to get drawn into wanting to prove our own innocence. And that's when it becomes this discussion of, you know, I'm right, no, I'm right, no, I'm right. That's what mm-hmm. happens.
Interesting. Okay.
So
that makes sense.
And the thing is, it's easy to doubt because, again, like that comes back to, you know, not really feeling good enough, which is, honestly, that most people I work with will get to that place at some stage in their work to go like, well, it's just I never really feel quite good enough. And that's just part of us being humans is we fall into that and there is actually a text called the Course in Miracles, which was a download for a Christian lady, Helen somebody. I don't remember her name now. Anyway, it is quite well known. And the Course in Miracles says the reason why we are not feeling good enough is because we have forgotten that we are children of God. And so we believe that we're just this little human, you know, who's got like between 50 and 100 years to live and very limited influence in the world and needs to amass possessions to feel good enough and we've forgotten that we are part of God's creation, part of this splendor, part of this, you know, incredibly joyful master consciousness. We are children of that. And so this little identification with just human is not good enough. So it is, you know, it's not, so we feel that if we're in that, where we can't connect to this love of God, the love of Jesus, when we, in those moments when we're not really connected to that, then yes, we're, you know, we're not really, I don't even want to say we don't live up to our true nature because, again, that feeds into this feeling of good enough because a lot of the time we don't have the choice. We just get drawn into it and then, you know, there's nothing much you can do until you remember. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that is the reason. And Jewel, please put me back on track. I've forgotten now how we got here.
Yeah, so no problem. We were talking about gaslighting and getting
through that process and the different realities that the two people are in. And I think you touched on it really well, which brings me into this other subject, which is one of the main reasons why I even have had you on to consult with, because I know in my community, and by my, I mean largely people of color, and it may extend, but I'm very much familiar with the people of color that I've grown up with and grown to meet throughout my career. I've just observed that they hate any form of therapy. And it's not all of them, but it's a good amount of them, specifically concerning the ones that may need it the most. And I think the reason is, at least what I've gathered, in just talking to people, because I think people sometimes feel healed just talking to me, because I just have an understanding spirit where I just try to understand, what's wrong. I don't judge. And I realize that is the issue, right? They're afraid of judgment. They're afraid of labeling. And, one of the things I liked the most when I, consulted with you, I spoke with you, I didn't get that feeling from you at all. And that's when I knew, at least I felt like the Holy Spirit had guided me to bring you or pull you in to our ministry to help others. I think that idea or that notion of being judged, of being labeled a specific diagnosis, they're fearful of. And you have a way of getting to the root of the issue with compassion and love, without necessarily labeling them. So I would love for you to share a little bit about your thoughts about that and how exactly you go about doing what you do.
Okay. So I have the same, I have a similar reluctance to diagnosis. I think diagnoses are really helpful if you want to know how your leg is broken. Absolutely essential to have a very clear diagnosis. However, when it comes to mental state, I find diagnosis a little limiting at times because our mental state is so fluid. And then also, it's exactly what you're saying, you know, it's like you quickly get the feeling that there's something wrong with you. And then what our mind does is like it attaches to that and says like, okay, well, so this is wrong with me. And so now I'm no longer whole. I'm no longer okay. Whereas I found it really important to understand that we are going through phases of not okay, and that's just human. So I understand this, the resistance to being labeled as something, absolutely, because it puts you in a box, and sometimes it's going to be hard to get out of that box again, or it's going to feel hard, and it can absolutely feel judgmental, for sure. And I have, the same has happened, you know, with some people that I do the work with. They do feel judged for the questions I'm asking as well. And that is because, so this judgment that we have is, because we're all at different places in our healing and we need different things. And I love that people come to you and feel drawn to you and you give them this space of being heard. Because, you know, creating this space of non-judgment and allowing the story to come out, the story of suffering, the story of pain, of injustice, is in itself so healing.
Yeah.
at the same time, you know, therapy can be really healing for other people. And it doesn't even, I wouldn't even want to put it into a progression. Like, you know, like first you do this and then you do that and then you do that. It's not like, so, because then it sounds like, you know, the more you heal, then you like you do this kind of thing, you know, you're more healed, whatever. It's just like, it's just, it depends on the personality. It depends on culture. It depends on upbringing. It depends on so many things, and it depends on the personal connection, right? You like, you want to be, the best therapy is not, the best therapist is never going to help you if you don't have a personal connection with the person. Right? Same with usual. If somebody hates your guts, they're not going to have any help from you listening to their story, because you're going to go like, oh, she's judging me all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for each of us, something else is needed. But what I found, what I would say the most powerful way to go about moving forward when we find ourselves in a place where we're stuck and we want to feel more at ease, and is to ask the universe for help. I want help with this. Or you could say God, you know, I'm using like the universe and God with like a little interchangeable. Asking this higher power that's so much bigger than we are and saying, I'm stuck with this. I want to move past this. Please help. Because it puts your small mind, the small human mind, and it says, I can't do it by myself. And there is huge, huge power in that surrender, you know, surrender to God, surrender to Jesus, surrender to a higher power. And then what I find and what I've seen is that what is appropriate for that person's situation will come in, whatever that is. So that is part of the reason why I am teaching meditation, is because it helps calm down mentally and be more open to answers that come from God. From it's, you know, it's a, I would say it is a form of prayer. There is a specific form of prayer. It's contemplative prayer, where the only question is like, God, I want to hear your will, you know? So there isn't a like a specific ask, but it's just, please let me know what you want me to do. And so there is a lot of silence in that prayer. And the way, like the work that I do, the work of Byron Katie, is a way of interrogating the thoughts that we have, basically saying that I feel not at peace because I believe something onto this reality that is not entirely true for my nature, for who I really am, for who I am when I am at peace and connected. And, but we tangle ourselves up into those, what she called stories, what Byron Katie calls the story of all the things that are going wrong in our lives, you know, and there's, I mean, when we look at the news and we look at the world as it is, there is plenty that looks really not like it's going really well. And those, that, what makes us suffer, be stressed, be hurt, be angry, be resentful. Anything from, you know, parents to politicians, whatever. And so the work helps to look at those thoughts and say, is this true for me? Is this really true for me? And then there's a piece of experiencing my reality. So I was talking in the beginning about the self-compassion. So there is a part of the work is to ask, how do I react? What happens when I believe this? Then there is this is an opportunity to really listen to ourselves, to our own experience. Like, oh, if I believe they're not listening, they're, you know, if I believe they're gaslighting me, I get so frustrated. I get so hurt. I'm so confused as to why they do this to me. So how does that feel? How, you know, how is my experience? And then can I hold that experience and can I have compassion for it? And then the work goes further into, you know, if I didn't believe that, how would I see the situation differently? And that is where really that perspective shift comes in. It's a little hard to explain just like that. So it's, okay, let me just give an example. Here is an example. Like if I believe that my daughter isn't listening to me while she's on the phone, you know, texting away, and I say something and she's not listening to me, like I say, please set the table, just simple. And then when I think she's not listening to me, I get angry. I see her as, you know, unhelpful, uncaring, lazy. And then when I ask her again, I get louder. And then when I have to ask her again, I get really annoyed, right? And that comes across in my whole demeanor. It comes across in my voice. It comes across in my facial expression. And it often sticks around. And so then the reaction I then get from her is going to mirror that. Right? She's going to be a sassy teenager, put it nicely.
Yeah.
But when I see her, she's not responding to what I'm saying, and I see her on the phone, but I don't think that she's not listening to me, then what do I see? I just see someone who's busy with something else, you know, who's doing what she thinks is important, not what I think is important. Like, who says she has to do what I think is important? And so then it doesn't trigger that anger. And so I can walk over and put my hand on her shoulder and say, hey, did you hear what I said? And she might, and like in my mind, I could just like see her shake her head and look up and go, what? And, you know, and so I don't have to bring in that anger. So, yeah, it's just, and I know this is, you know, this is a very simple, simple little example that doesn't hold like a ton of charge, except for some of us it holds a lot of charge because for some of us this is how we grew up with our parents shouting at us because we weren't caring, we weren't listening, right? And this is how we experience our teenagers as kids who don't have respect. And so just looking at those situations with those questions can just take that annoyance, that charge out of there, and then we start to interact with people differently. And what we get back as a result is also different.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Stephanie, in just this initial introduction to our healing series, I think you have really tackled some hot topics there, and I'm so grateful to have you join us going forward. I want to, of course, share, you know, some comments really quick from our last podcast because I know we're going a little over time. But we had one anonymous person mention that from our last podcast, they would like to take two of our recordings
the one regarding a mother's sacrifice and the other recording that I did by myself regarding what's happening with children missing. And they would like to use it in their women's group retreat. So I was very pleased to hear that. And you know who you are. Yes, that's really good stuff. So I'm glad you found the podcast informative, and you're going to be spreading it with a group of women that hopefully will spread it to another group. So thank you very much. And then I have one more comment from Mr. Frank, who is always very supportive to our podcast and just, you know, a pillar of light when it comes to our Father's word. I can always count on him to interpret some of life's everyday occurrences and relate it to Scripture. Well, Mr. Frank said, when you get real big, I will name drop you so people will think I'm something special because I know you. Mr. Frank, thank you so much. That means a great deal to me. But, sir, I'm already name dropping you before I get big. So thank you for continuing to support our podcast. I want to say God bless you all, and thank you for supporting me. Thank you for supporting Stephanie. We're so pleased to have her on today. A special thanks to FundraisingCup.org Ministries for sponsoring us. If you wish to donate, please contact Fundraising Charity at 615-205-5657. Again, your support is greatly appreciated. Stephanie, if you have any closing comments, you're welcome to take the mic here and share with them some final words.
No, I'm just hoping that what I was saying made sense, because I know I can sometimes be like get carried away in my own mind. So I'm going to also listen to it and just hope that, you know, it does make sense. And I'm looking forward to the next time when we start to explore the next topic. And thanks for having me, and thanks for listening, everyone. I really appreciate it.
Thank you all. I'm excited, too. It's going to be very informative, and it's going to be, most importantly, healing for all of us to explore some of these issues and how to get through it. So until our next podcast, thank you all, and see you on Can We Talk With Jewel next time. Bye.
Bye.